There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your setting. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clancast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Beskar Dave.
I'm Sean Fangirl S.
And I'm Sith Lord Steve. Today we're talking the Acolyte, titled Lost Found, Episode 1 of Season 1, written by Leslie Headland, George Lucas, and Jasmine Blournoy, and directed by Leslie Headland.
I did not realize George Lucas had actually written part of this or been involved with it. Like, I know he is, but you know what I mean? Like, specifically this.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, but you can tell, looking retroactively at it, yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
Even the second episode. I don't know if he's involved with that, but they included the classic line. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
All right, who's up for our episode recap?
Let's go.
Yep, get into your easy chairs. This is going to take a while. A shocking crime occurs in a distant galaxy, prompting the Jedi Order to hunt for the prime suspect. There you go. All right, how about some initial reactions? Sean, go first.
Okay, so I enjoyed it. And my initial reaction, and I'm sure you'll understand, because why are you listening if you haven't watched the episode yet? So please don't, because this will have spoilers. So please don't listen first. Carry on, boss, like 5 minutes. I was like, what? Like that had me kind of floored, because I'm expecting, okay, she's, you know, a well-known name. It's not like you don't know who she is looking at her. And then, okay, it's done. I'm like, what the hell? So Basically from that point on, I was just like, I don't think we can trust anything. This is going to be like several other books, movies, whatever, shows where it's like, don't get attacked. They're probably going to die. So that's what I was thinking the whole time. So it was kind of hard to be like, okay, let me just get in this mindset, because I'm like, oh, she's probably going to die. He's probably going to die. So it's one of those. But I did like it. Of course, like, I had seen some chatter online, we'll say, beforehand. And after seeing what people were complaining about and then actually seeing it on screen, I was just like, really? That's what you were mad about? Really?
Oh, that always happens.
So, yeah, mostly, like, after watching it, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to get to this next one and see what happens. Because I feel like it wasn't an overload of, let's shove everything down our throat. Like, this is all this, and we have to fit the pieces together. I just liked the way it was kind of flowing. And, of course, I liked the actors.
Oh, yeah. Sith Lord Steve.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I thought it was a good episode. And like you, Sean, it did get a little confusing up until later on. Okay, they're twins. All right, okay. I mean, I was thinking, well, couldn't they have given May a little different hairstyle and not be exactly the same? But no.
Too much work.
Yep, too much work.
On to me, Dave.
Okay, all right, here I go. Really? We have to revisit the Parent Trap again? Come on.
Oh, wait, that is Disney, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Can I blame George Lucas for this, too? Anyway. First, I'm just going to nitpick to start with. Not that I didn't like it. I did. We'll get to our ratings later. But I always have a problem with the Force in the sense, and it gets to be faulty. First, it works, then it doesn't work. How come it's working now? It wasn't working before. And the tech, for a bunch of people that have faster than light, a lot of their tech stinks. You know, like like security at a Jedi temple or...
Oh, my God.
Come on.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah, but I did enjoy it, so.
But I agree with you there, Dave, 100%. Okay. Like, really?
Well, why don't you lead us off, Sean?
Okay, so I get to say this planet that I keep screwing up, because I said it probably four different ways when I was just watching it. We open on the planet, oh God, okay, is it Uida?
I was saying Ueda.
Yeah, because I think I said Uda or something when I first watched.
You never know.
So we opened on that planet where a young woman assassin enters a village, and she pays a local to tell her where the Jedi is. The assassin enters the cantina filled with patrons because, yeah, let's get it on with a bunch of people watching. That's not a great assassin. I'm just saying. Searching the room, she sees the Jedi Master Indara in the corner, who was Carrie-Anne Moss, and commands Indara to attack her with all that she has. What? I mean, this had that very much like, hit me, like some little kid jumping up and down. Like, what was the little one from Tom and Jerry that was always trying to start a fight? I can't remember. But that,
you mean
that's
the mouse?
What it,
yeah.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. Was it Jerry? I thought it was like one of the other ones with him that was always like,
oh, no.
Every so often trying to start a fight or something. That's what it felt like. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, obviously we don't know she's an assassin. We think she just has some chip on her shoulder. Indara, of course, refuses. But to goad her into the fight, the assassin attacks surrounding patrons because I guess we're like, all right, well, if I can't fight you, I'm going to fight somebody. A lot of drunk energy there. And Indara eventually joins the fight, easily parrying the assassin's blow without pulling her lightsaber. Indara only uses the Force and asks the assassin who trained her. And at one point, it's like Indara's saving patrons who the assassin like throws off the second floor. Okay, good. And well, this is where shit starts to get real, apparently, because she ends up calling on her comm that we have an unknown Force user. It's like, okay. Another round of blows, some knives come out, and they're taken away pretty easy, although those were pretty awesome looking. I don't even know if I'd call that a knife. It's like a blade, but whatever.
I think you can get it on Etsy.
If we have anybody who does metal work on here, you want to give me the exact name of it. Well, Indara disarms the assassin and recognizes this young woman and recognizes what I thought was more of like the mark above her eyebrow, almost two-ish tribal mark. So I was wondering how that's going to come in.
Are you talking about Indara's or May?
No, May.
At this
point, we don't know her name. This is the assassin.
Right.
But
right,
there was
right.
a mark, like circular kind of tribal-ish mark tattoo. So
yeah. Can I mention two things before we move on to Steve?
Sure.
Okay. Don't you wish when Indara starts to moss, she would extend her hand and give the old Matrix, come here.
Oh my God. I really thought that was coming.
That would have been so awesome.
I honestly thought that whole time it was coming because, I mean, our assassin in that weird kind of pose, which it may well, again, be a fighting stance. You know, I have no clue, but it just seems so awkward. And I almost expected her to do it. And then them look at her like, what?
Yeah. I think that's why Indara asked who trained her. Because she hadn't seen that. That wasn't a Jedi pose.
Yeah.
The assassin says she's there to kill Indara, shoving her with the Force. As the assassin flings her knives at the Jedi Master, Indara finally pulls her lightsaber, slashing the blades out of the air. Indara tries to talk her down. Assassin counters that a Jedi does not pull their saber out unless they're prepared to kill. This makes Indara lower her blade as the assassin readies for her next assault. The assassin shoots one blade down towards the barkeeper on the floor. When Indara stops the blow with the Force, the assassin's second knife finds the Jedi Master's heart. Indara,
I'm just saying, that seemed a little odd to me. There's a lot of layers of clothes. That blade wasn't that big. And I'm like, really? Just okay.
Yeah. A nice deception, though.
Yeah.
You know what I call that? That's the Superman dilemma. That's where an asteroid's hurtling towards Earth, thanks to Lex Luthor. And are you going to stop the asteroid, Superman? Or are you going to rescue Lois Lane hanging from this helicopter?
Right.
Works every time.
Indara crumples to the ground as the assassin leaves her body behind. The assassin prepares to kill the barkeeper until she sees his child. Instead, she walks away.
How compassionate.
I'm like, is she not going to be a heartless person? She just beat the crap out of a whole bunch of innocent people. to try to kill somebody, but your kid's here. All right, I'm going to let you live. It's like, okay, I wonder if they'll come back to that at all.
Father, there's goodness left in you. I can sense it.
Yeah.
So later, Osha awakens in her bunk and is greeted by her little droid Pip. Ah, we've seen Pips before. If you play the games, that is. She gets dressed and meets with her crew member Philek, who pokes fun at her for not going out with them the previous night. However, she's coy about where she was and doesn't give an answer about what she does on her days off. She and Philip don spacesuits to repair the shields on the ship she's working on, which is under the Nemodian Trade Federation. The captain is impatient at how long it's taking, saying mechanics are disposable. Asha shoots back over the comms that they can hear her. That's one of the oldest jokes, and I always laugh at it too. I can hear you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, these guys are back. Okay. Oh, and yeah. He's just big a jerk as they all are. Okay.
Yep.
Asha shoots back over the comms and hear. Okay. Is it that while they're welding the part outside the ship shut, another valve blows, setting a small fire. Asha moves to fix it. The flame triggers a memory in her of her calling for a girl named May and their mother. Screaming is happening in the background of the memory. Aha. So there's a connection there, which I have a problem with. Felix snaps her out of it, and she puts out the fire. Just then, a Jedi Vector, the fighter ship used by the Jedi Order during this time period, comes from hyperspace. The Nemodians are not happy to see the Jedi there. Why? Feeling guilty about something?
Aren't they always? Okay, yeah. So I just want to say the fire part is what so many people online had an issue with. It's like, you need oxygen to have a fire. There's obviously no oxygen. I'm like, oh my God. Could there not be oxygen running through those tubes that were on fire? So I'm like, really? You're going to nitpick little things like this? And then, of course, it went into, because the director said she didn't know anything about Star Wars. And that's obvious. I'm like, oh, Jesus, here we go. So I'm like, it starts with the fire and goes from there. But seriously, the fire?
Yeah.
Did you have a problem with the Death Star? But what was your issue with the the flames triggering the memory?
Oh, well, it speaks of a connection between the two still. Yet she doesn't know she's alive, but there's still a connection there. Even though it's a triggered memory, we'll see it later, how the connection preserves. And she senses her sister. I still have a problem with her not sensing she was still alive. That's where my problem is. As far as the fire is concerned, I don't think even if it was oxygen and it would jet like that, you'd see the fire. Because on a spaceship, let's say old Apollos or whatever, you wouldn't see the thrust come out as flame either, only on TV in the movies.
Right.
You just can't see it. But the pressure's definitely there.
All right. Steve, did you have any comments? I was just jumping in everywhere.
No, that's fine.
Okay, we go to Jedi Knight Yord Fendar and his Padawan, Hasiloa. Enter the ship bridge and greet the Nemodians. Now, I did not realize who that girl was. I had to look it up. It was taking me like forever. I didn't realize that was Daphne Keene. So you're not sure who Daphne is. I believe that's who she's playing in here. I could be wrong, but she looks like her. She's from Logan and his Dark Materials.
Daphne Keene, that's Jekai Lon.
Oh, I'm not thinking the right one.
Yeah, Tassi is the one with the big ears.
Oh, right? Okay. Yeah, I'm already like putting Daphne into the other spot. Yes, you're right. I forgot. That was the other one, which was a species I don't remember ever seeing in any of them previously. So,
oh, they have.
Have they? Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, I'm like, all right, keep bringing new ones in. I love it. But of course, they're looking for Osha, who, surprise, surprise, was a former Jedi. I'm like, oh, okay. And when the captain tries to bluff that they definitely don't have any mechniks, especially human ones, because that's illegal for them to work in dangers of space. Really? Yeah, because we know that these guys are all on the up and up all the time.
Yeah.
Of course, Yord sees right through it. He begins to Jedi mind trick the captain. Did he? I think he was just like messing with him. Like he wasn't really going to do anything. He just holds up his hand and all the like, wait. Because the bridge crew kind of freaks out. But I did love it. So, and I'm assuming that other bridge member was supposed to be like a female member of that species, which we've never seen because we've only seen these jerk guys. So maybe like they're not all bad. They just happen to work with a lot of bad ones who are in power. Who knows? But Osha returns to her room where Yord is waiting. Oh god, this is gonna be like talking in Swedish. I'm gonna have a hard time here.
Y-O-R-D Yord.
The two clearly know each other as Osha greets him in a friendly manner and congratulates him on passing the Jedi trials to become a knight. In very different clothing than we have seen in any of the movies, by the way. The friendliness ends as Osha goes to take Pip out of her pocket, and Yord mistakes it for a blaster, his hand shooting to his lightsaber. Yeah, he's a little quick on the pulling out his weapon. I'm just saying. It's like, why is he so wary of her ways? Like, was she the type of person that flew off the handle all the time?
Well, he did come to, like, interrogate her, arrest her. He's a suspect, right?
Oh, that's true. And he tells her to sit when Cassie comes in to interrogate her. And I'm just saying that, like, I think they all need to work on their communication skills a bit, because they're very robotic with a lot of this. And I get it. We see how things progress with Jedis later in the movies and series, but it just seemed very, like, I am just asking these questions. I can't have a thought in my head.
I looked up Tassie Loa, and the actress is Thara Shoon. Only 3 credits, and this is one of them. So, and no picture on IMDb either. Oh. So great makeup. I mean, wow. I should have looked up what species, but I guess she existed either in the comics or the cartoon. Well, not specifically her, but the species.
Yeah, okay.
Probably. Well, Osha left the Jedi Order 6 years prior. She was brought in when she was 8 years old, almost too old to be admitted. Also, Osha was in mourning after losing her mother's sister and a village in a fire. However, Jedi Master Sol brought her to the Order so she could be trained. They finally tell her they're there because Master Indara was murdered by someone who matched her description. Apparently, Osha had a bit of a stressful past with Indara. Osha said she would have never killed her, though. She was on the freighter the previous night anyway. Tassie brings in the barkeeper, who quickly identifies Osha as the assassin. And with that, they arrest Osha.
I didn't expect to see that guy.
No.
You. Except you wore a hood. Okay. So we jump over to Coruscant, where Jedi Master Sol is leading a class of Jedi younglings. That kind of gave me the creeps a little. I've seen classes of Jedi younglings before, and it didn't go well. So Jedi Master Venestra Ro enters the room as the younglings share what they see as they meditate. I guess she was on a cartoon series too, if not a comic book, this Venestra, except her hair was a lot different. I also read that she was the youngest knight of the Jedi at age 15, which is kind of interesting. I wish I knew more of her backstory. So one child sees a fire consuming everything around them. He dismisses the class and greets Venestra. She brings grim news they found a suspect in the murder of Indara, a dear friend of Saul's. It's Saul's previous Padawan, Asha, which shocks Sol greatly. He can't see Asha ever harming Indara. Well, he didn't like her, I guess. He believes it's a mistake. It's a tense time. Venestra doesn't want it to be known that a former Jedi killed another. Why not? Do you guys think that was a little weird? They're worried about public perception?
I did, and I was trying to figure out, again, like, the timeline. It's like, are things starting to get weird and people are, I don't want to say going to the dark side, but, like, where is it falling? Has there been issues, and you know, are there Sith and we just don't know about it yet kind of thing?
Yes. So this is at the tail end of the High Republic, and I saw, I think it was something about Jeki, that she was around 133 years before BBY. Anyway, this would be fodder for the Order's political enemies. They have political enemies? Okay. Sol gives Venestra support in this matter to bring justice against Asha.
Before the Battle of Yavin.
Yavin!
That's when Luke destroyed the first Death Star. Just for everybody else whose brain is also on loading screen.
Force is not working.
I was super psyched to see Lee Jung-jae. I didn't realize that they seen him in Squid Game, and they're like, yes, he's got to be in this, and went after him for that. So I'm like, all right.
He learned English for this role. Can you believe that?
I feel like he learned it very quickly, too, because the interviews I seen from Squid Games, now granted, it's been a couple years, but like, when did they start filming this? So it was like, wow.
Well, a couple of the actors.
It took 4 years of Spanish. I can't remember.
Yeah, me too. A couple of the actors on Shogun learned Japanese for the roles. I'm like, are you kidding me? Wow.
This is why they're professional actors. Yes. We're not.
Podcasters.
Who don't speak other languages very well. Okay, sorry. All right. So let's head to the prison ship, shall we? Which is just all droids. I thought that was interesting. It's like, okay, well, it's one way people can't exactly bribe a droid, right? Supposedly. But the other convicts are trying to get Osha to join them in a prison escape. If they're that bad, why is this just all open and stuff too? But whatever. So it shouldn't be hard for them to take over and steal the escape pods, right? Right? I mean, they're droids after all. Oh God. Like when they're talking about it, I'm like, this just doesn't seem like a good idea. And Osha, of course, is refusing because she has faith that the Jedi will find her innocent. And at this point, the prisoners are laughing at her, and I'm thinking, okay, either this lady is trying to get into the Jedi Temple to do something, or like she's got, I don't know, like two personalities or something, because none of this is making sense in my head. So watching this, the prisoners start their escape. They drop out of hyperspace into an asteroid field, of course, because why not? And the ship is taking damage. The other prisoners manage to free themselves by ripping the arm off a droid. And one semi, I don't know, what would you call that one? It was like a human cyborg.
Yeah, I don't know.
It reminded me like of a Cenobite. But they don't free Asha. They just laugh at her and they're like, oh, sorry, we couldn't give you a hand. I'm like, oh, the puns. Really? The puns. They leave her behind. She's stuck in her prison cell. Osha taps the Force to try to pull her droid towards her that fell out of the storage. Yeah, at least that happened. But she can't. Now, we have no idea how much she's able to use the Force. Like, trained, we don't know how long exactly at this point, but it ain't working. And it's not exactly like a mutant power where she's able to activate it in high stress times, I guess. But
I still had a problem with that.
Well, we don't even know what she was able to do in the sequel,
you saw a little boy Force use a broom to clean up his section of a ship, and he's just a kid. But she's an adult, and she's lost total contact with it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll get more of it later. Like, she's like blocked it out. Trauma. Who knows? But luck is on her side because Pip slides towards her while the ship turns, and she uses the welding capabilities to free herself and runs towards the escape pod.
Did you guys know that after they ripped the arm off that droid, they renamed it Furiosa?
Oh my god. I've missed talking to you, Dave.
Yeah.
She takes pity on the one violent prisoner left behind. Freeing him, he shoves past Osha and takes the final escape pod for himself. The ship is careening toward a planet, breaking apart in the atmosphere. She buckles in and rides out the crag.
Hey, did anybody else hope that like an asteroid took out that escape pod?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Bonk.
Back on Coruscant, Saul is visited by his Padawan, Jeki. Fernestra wants to see him. Before he leaves, he asks if she can do old hollows of Osha. He instead gives a lesson on how they meditate on the past so they don't repeat its failures. Saul meets with Fernestra, and it turns out Jedi have picked up all the escape prisoners who took the escape pods. They're blaming Osha for all this. Saul uses the mind trick on one of the prisoners that Osha helped, and he tells the truth about what happened.
You're so calm when he said that, too.
Yeah.
I'm a jerk. So Fernestra reminds him that one kind of action does not clear her of Indara's murder. Saul wants to go find Osha himself. Fernestra doesn't like it, but she gives him permission to take a small team with him. He brings Jeki with him, and it's her first mission. I've been reading that Jeki's a fan favorite. I do like her, too.
Yep.
She's ready for it and really hopes that it's Yor is joining them on the mission. Sure enough, it is Yor joining them. As they arrive on the ship, he's shirtless and preparing his robes. An awkward greeting follows as Jeki tells him to put his clothes on. They leave in 5 minutes. With that, the Jedi set out to find Osha. Do you think Yor is a bit of a peacock?
Oh my god, yes.
Yes.
Was he okay, like steaming his robes?
Yes.
Like, yeah. What? And he has to do that shirtless?
Yeah. You look good, you feel good. They leave in 5 minutes. With that, the Jedi set out to find Osha, who awakens in the wreckage of the crashed ship on the snowy planet of Karlak. In relation to Sarlacc, a shadowy figure appears at the door, walking away and leading her away. She follows the shadowy figure into the snow. It turns, and the little girl who calls her by name, Osha, calls the little girl May, who was her sister. Dun dun.
Yeah, I'm like, is she really there? Is this in her head? Did she really hit her head hard? What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the scene shifts around her and becomes her home planet. A fire breaks out in the trees around her. Osha chases the young May through the Force vision into her old home. Osha is then a young girl herself, calling out to May and questioning if this is real. Could May have survived the fire? May confirms that she's the one who killed Indara, and she wants to kill all the Jedi Order. The Force vision breaks and Osha snaps awake, once again in the crashed vessel with Pip at her side. Okay, this is something new. So is it supposed to be, like, because we've seen something kind of similar with Rey and Kylo, but this is obviously not her awake and knowing what's happening. So, like, is this all kind of subconscious? Because at this point, she doesn't know anything about May. May doesn't know anything about her, right? As far as we know.
Yeah, they so both think the other one died.
Yeah, so this is all, like, their subconscious reaching out to each other through the Force. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Me too, because, as you said, or will say, May confirms that she's the one who killed Indara, so there must be a connection over time. And the whole twin thing, right?
Yep.
If the Force is working, twins are supposed to sense each other, that I know from personal experience.
Yeah, well, look how long it took for Luke and Leia, so...
Yeah.
Well, back with the Jedi, Jackie wants to know more about Osha. She was her master's former Padawan, after all. He was stationed on Osha's planet when her sister started the fire that killed her entire family. He took her in as a Padawan after that. Yord steps in that he didn't know that Osha had a twin, and Jackie confirms that information wasn't in her file. Sol shuts down any thoughts that this could be May. Apparently, he saw May die in front of him.
And how true is that then? Obviously.
Yes.
But was she like a little, like, pyro? What's happening? Why'd she start a fire? It's like, are we going to get more information?
Yeah, we will.
Don't promise things, Dave. Don't promise it.
Well, can't leave it like that. Anyway, the Jedi arrive in Karlak in their Cadillac to head towards the Sarlacc. Head down toward the planet. Osha hears the ships incoming and hides. Yord doesn't think that Osha could have survived this. Suddenly, Saul gets an idea and races out with the other two Jedi following in tow. Osha slips into a cave, spotting a back exit. Saul and his team are just behind. The exit is a dead end for Osha, who is cornered by the Jedi. Saul races to his old Padawan. Osha begs her old master to believe her. Suddenly, she slips off the edge. I called that, like a zillion other people. He catches her with the Force, which I called also, pulling her back to him. He kneels down and steadies her. He shows her the warmest smile that was cute, and she confirms that May is alive. He believes her and tells her the other Jedi to stand down. Elsewhere, May is in an ocean planet and meets with a dark figure. The figure calls her an acolyte, and the person pulls their red-bladed lightsaber out. Okay, I have a comment on that. So, you know my friend Tom at Wonderland, who's a big geek on all this stuff, too?
Yep.
And I said to him, because after one showing, I was like, I wondered, who was the acolyte in the show? Is it him, the dark figure, or is it May? And he goes, it's May. He's the master. I'm like, I don't know. Is he? Because he didn't directly address May as his acolyte. He spoke in the third person.
Oh, yeah. He does say something like, an acolyte will take him down. Like,
yeah, so. An acolyte. Yeah. So I hope there's something to that, but who knows?
That's interesting, because now that's going to be in my head, because I kind of thought it was almost just like an introduction for her, but I mean, the actual definition of an acolyte, one who assists a member of the clergy, I can't say that word, liturgical service by performing minor duties. So it's like one who attends or assists the leader.
So I asked Tom, so let's say in theory that the dark figure is the acolyte. Who's his master? Well, and Tom said, well, he's dead because the acolyte killed him. I don't know. It could be a puppet master in the deep background, too.
Yep.
I mean, okay, no matter what they've said, the Sith are only in twos, pairs, always two. It's like, right. We don't know, because obviously there are several. Just because they're paired together doesn't mean that that's all there is.
Go ahead.
I'm just like, so how many could there be? And is it some weird... I mean, this is so far back. We know it's not what's his name from the original trilogy, but
Palpatine.
Yes, thank you. I'm like creepy looking dude by the end, but like we know it's not him. But still, it's like I don't know. It's kind of making me want to read all the books, and there's too many.
Good luck. One other note, if I may, Osha is referred to as a Padawan, and she's also referred to as leaving the Jedi Order 6 years ago. Well, it doesn't make her a Jedi then, right? She's in the Order, but she's not full-fledged Jedi. Did I read that correctly?
It doesn't explicitly state it, but yeah, I kind of feel the same way you do. She didn't complete her training.
Yeah, that's the path I'm following. Maybe we'll learn.
Wasn't it the same with Ahsoka? She didn't complete her training.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
More of a natural.
Yeah, she kept her doing her training on her own.
Yeah. That couldn't have been easy.
Nope.
So many questions. We'll have to keep following to see. So, finally, we get to one of our favorite things. at least for me. Rating out of 5. Sean, do you have a rating for us?
I will say 4 out of 5 because I did like it. There was some shock. So, you know, the fact that it gave me the what kind of factor in the beginning, I'm like, and I just like the overall kind of vibe. It's like, okay, telling a different story. It's not just surrounding this core group of people that we've always known. So that's why I'm giving it 4 out of 5 and hoping that we'll get some answers as it goes.
Okay, Steve?
I'm giving it 4 out of 5 twins.
That's a lot of twins.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going to go as high than my typical cynical me. We didn't rate that high on IMDb either. I'm giving it 3 out of 5 half-naked yords. They still have a story to tell, and I'm willing to stick around, of course. At least, like Sean said, they didn't throw everything at us to begin with, so that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't get the whole world building in the first episode.
Yeah.
Well, please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Acolyte podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and we hope you're enjoying our podcasts. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
Does that mean we have a twin podcast?
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God. The evil one. Or are we the evil one?
Yeah.
No, that'll make my head hurt. Don't talk like that. You can check us out at www.fangirlzone.com. Check out the new website. Yay! Everything's up and so pretty. And I'm so happy that we had a professional helping us out. But you can check out our contacts page, which has all the ways to get a hold of us. It has our team up there with all of our pictures. And yes, we look amazing. Just saying. So for the first episode of Acolyte on the Mudhorn Clan cast,
I'm Sith Lord Steve. You're with me. I'm with you. Always one, but born as two.
Dude.
I'm Sean Fangirl S, and I am never going to figure out if that's actually Sith Lord Steve or Hulk Steve. I don't know.
Sith Lord Steve is a little green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this is shirtless Beskar Dave. It's good enough for Yord. It's good enough for me.